Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Our Father, we thank you that you're with us. We pray that you'll be with us as we look to your word. And we pray that you would help us to see what it is that you have for us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke 24, verse 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. The Sabbath rest was over, and they seems they've gone on to continue to prepare Jesus' body in the tomb, their preparation being cut short because of the Sabbath rest. They go there bringing forth spices. Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And there are a number of things you could say here. One, it was a rather large stone. There were guards that were there guarding the entrance. How is it possible that the stone is rolled away when there are men there to prevent such a thing from happening? Verse 3, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So they approached the tomb. The stone has been rolled away already. And they went in, but there's no body. Where was the body? Where is he? Verse 4. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood beside them in dazzling apparel. They're trying to figure out what happened. Two men suddenly appear to them. We are told in other Gospels, these men are angels who stand beside them. And they're perplexed at this, those who've come to the tomb, and the angels there. And as often is the case, they are all frightened and bow their faces to the ground, the text says, which is always the reaction that people have when they approach angels in the Holy Scripture. They fall down in fear. And the angels say something to them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? This is so powerful and beautiful. Why are you at a cemetery looking for a live person? Isn't this magnificent and beautiful? Of course, they're at the right place. They've seen their Savior crucified. Not long. Believe me, friend, it is very vivid in their brains. You know that people nowadays, they do extensive studies on people. And when they see something horrific, be it a traffic accident where there is very severe bodily damage to those injured in the accident, or something else that's very traumatic, that has a negative effect on their psyche, if you will. Their emotions, their conscience, they say, I can't put it out of my brain. I have not slept in 3 years soundly because I have this picture in my mind. Listen, Jesus' disciples, they have this picture in their minds. He was crucified. And we think we understand what it is, but we don't. We weren't there. We didn't see it. And especially something done to such a one as Jesus. No person has ever seen someone like this that's walked the face of the earth. Never before and never since. And such a one as Jesus being crucified. Can you imagine? Can you put yourself where they were? Of course they're looking for Jesus among the dead. Even though Jesus has already taught them that he will rise, they've just forgotten it. In the trauma of the moment, And in the fear that they all had, they've forgotten what he told them. The angels, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen. He's risen. Remember how he told you in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. Do you remember? He told you that. Remember? And let's remember this. Jesus taught after Peter's confession. You remember? Jesus said, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And they throw out some various theories. And Jesus says, but who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Very profound. And you know what Jesus says after some remarks about how Peter came to that conclusion? Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And on the third day, be raised. Matthew 16, 20 and 21. He told them, you're right, I am the Christ. And they're going to kill me. But I'm going to rise. I'm telling you now. It's not here now. My time is not at hand, but it is coming. And the angels reminded these women of what Jesus had said. Listen, Jesus prophesied that he would rise on the third day, and he did. If you remember that Old Testament way, and I've shared this with you many times because I just love the wording of it. This is how you will know the one that I have sent. Speaking of prophets, if the thing that they prophesy comes to pass, then you know I have sent him. And if the thing which he prophesies does not come to pass, do not fear him. I have not sent him. Very easy to know whose God's man is. They need 100% accuracy. Not yes and no, yes and no. All yes, it came to pass. Jesus not only is a sinless man, but he is 100% accuracy prophet. And he prophesied that he would rise from the dead, and he did rise. And the angel said, don't you remember? Be encouraged. He told you this was going to happen. He's not here. No, just like he said, he's risen. He's not here. And that's not the only time Jesus taught them that. Do you remember Jesus responding to a request from the Jews after he had cleansed the temple and drove out those hypocrites and cleansed the temple? And they said, what sign do you give us? Who gives you authority? As we might say, what makes you the boss? How are you going to come in here and clean everything out? Why do you have authority? Show us a sign. If you have authority, wow us. And maybe we'll believe. Maybe we'll go along with it. And you remember what Jesus said to them? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Referring to his flesh, not the temple. You remember, they balk instantly. Impossible. They're always looking at the flesh and never seems like they can't see through to the spiritual side of things. The text says he was speaking about the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. John chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Jesus has been telling them this many times, but they just could not imagine. This is why Jesus has to rebuke Peter when he's telling Peter, I'm going to be betrayed and killed. And Peter says, no, Lord, we'll fight. This will never happen to you. And Peter has to rebuke him. No, Peter, what you have in mind is not God's will. God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge is that I be crucified, and it will come to pass. Again, the Jews sought after signs, and Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Seems very odd that he would go this direction, doesn't it? You want a sign? I'm not giving you one. You want a sign? I'll give you one. The sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12, 39 and 40. And listen, oh, what a sign it was. You want a sign? You wait. You wait and see. Just like Jonah was in that great fish for 3 days, you'll see something that you've never dreamed possible. Oh, what a sign. Things in our time, medical doctors say it's impossible. How is it impossible? How is it impossible? They come up with theories all the time that they say are impossible, and then 3 years later they say, oh wait, no, we were wrong about that. It actually is possible. They've revised their theories hundreds of times. Let God's word be true, and every person a liar. It is possible. In fact, it happened. Jesus is risen. What he told them would be the sign, again, prophesying, I will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and I will rise. And you watch, you will see the sign. You will see. And if we go back to Luke, verse 8, the Bible says, and they remembered his words. Jesus' word. What word? His word of prophecy about his resurrection. Listen, we take this for granted. If any other person in the history of the world said, when I die, I'm going to come back to life. It's foolish, isn't it? We would say, this person is mentally ill. The dead do not rise. This is the one thing we know. The dead do not rise. They stay dead. And yet Jesus has prophesied that it will come to pass. The fulfillment of which, listen, this is very important, and it's going to take up a lot of the rest of our discussion today. Jesus' fulfillment of his prophecy that he will rise from the dead proves that he has authority over the temple. Not just over the temple. Do you see that symbolic cleaning of the temple is more than just what we might read there. His resurrection is proof that his ministry has been appointed by God. And the scriptures teach as much in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Listen, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Why? Why does he command people everywhere to repent? Verse 31, because he's fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all, by raising him from the dead. See, Jesus' ministry is to seek and to save the lost until the coming day of judgment. His resurrection is proof that his talk of judgment was right. Another very common theme in Jesus' ministry is judgment. When Jesus says the greater Jonah has come to the earth, listen, what was Jonah's ministry? He went to a wicked and depraved city and cried out to them, "The city will be overthrown. Judgment is at hand." And what happened there? The people heeded the word of the prophet. They fell down and repented. And do you know what happened? God relented of the wrath that he had planned to pour out on them. They repented. When Jesus compares himself to Jonah, listen, he is greater than Jonah. Jonah is a type of Christ, not the other way around. Oh, unless you want to say Jesus is the higher Jonah. He's come to warn us of coming judgment and the free offer of pardon from the King. Judgment is upon the earth. And we've known this. All of us know this. You reap what you sow. No one goes through their life sowing wickedness and then reaps blessing at the end. We know this. Unless we call upon the name of Jesus, the Bible says, we will be overthrown by our sins. They will consume us. The wrath of God for those sins, unless we eat the flesh of Jesus and drink his blood. And listen, I hope that doesn't confuse you. When Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, we're not some sort of funny cannibals. It's a figure of speech. He is the bread that came down from heaven, that sustains us in the wilderness, that will give us life, even though surely we would have perished. Believe in Jesus, lest the wrath of God fall upon you. Listen, think about what Jesus said. He compares himself to the ministry of Jonah. The wrath of God is at hand, but there's pardon also. Turn back. And we know Jesus spoke the truth, and we know Jesus has the authority to teach such things, and we know that the Father has appointed him. And how do we know these things? How can we be assured of these things? The Bible says God has given assurance to all by raising Jesus, who was crucified, from the dead. How do we know that Jesus, what he said, is really, really important? And we ought to heed it? And we ought not think that these are idle threats. Listen, the Bible is very clear. Jesus is very clear. No man comes to my Father except by me. For those who hear that message and they say, have mercy on me, Jesus receives gladly. In fact, he came to the earth to save sinners. And those who will not heed, like Nineveh, had they not heeded the message, surely the city would have been overthrown. And God would have continued with his plan of wrath for them. And listen, it's not because God is evil. It's because they are evil and deserve to be crushed for their wickedness. In our day and time, even when a former president calls people evildoers and it's made fun of, they are evildoers. We all are. Repent that the peace and comfort of God might be upon us. This is the gospel message. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is Paul. If you want to remind yourself, what is the gospel? Because churches and preachers use that term a lot, and we know it means good news. But what is the good news exactly? Paul says, I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, for I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. And remember, we talked about this recently. Paul did not receive this secondhand, but firsthand from Jesus. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried. And that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. Listen, God has given the proof that He's fixed a day in which He will judge the world, by raising Jesus from the dead. The gospel message. Jesus died for our sins. He really died. There was no swoon that went on. And Jesus just seemed like He was dead, because He was just so beaten up. But somehow He was able to revive Himself and shake off the grave clothes and move the rock out of the way. Listen, that is folly. He died. We know He died because He was buried. And He was raised from the dead. He really did rise. You know how we know? Because He appeared to hundreds of people after He was risen. You know, it's one thing for me to tell you that I heard from a friend, from a friend, from a friend who saw Him. But Paul's telling them here, most of them are still around. Go talk to them and they'll tell you how we ate fish with Him. And that He told us to touch Him and feel Him, that He was not a ghost. And when we dared to touch and to handle Him, He was not a ghost. He was Jesus resurrected. He appeared to hundreds, the Bible says. And since it is true that He's been raised and Jesus is who He says He was, we should all take this message of eternal life in His name very, very seriously. There's not much that people in our generation take seriously. But listen, if there's anything you ought to take seriously, it's that Jesus is risen. And if He is risen indeed, which He is, then the things that He said and the things that He taught are true and true and true. Think not that these threatenings are idle words of a philosopher who passed away like other men. No. He spoke as His Father told Him to speak, and He is risen, and He is alive, and He has authority to command men everywhere. Repent! I've overlooked times of ignorance in the past, but I have a day that I will judge. Repent! Repent! And it's not, Jesus' point is not that I'm going to condemn you. If you won't repent, you're condemned already! You've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. God has said, He is my Son. He is the Savior. And if you will not believe, you are telling God, no, He's not. Do you see how precarious that situation is, friend? We should take this message of eternal life in Jesus' name very seriously. And seeing that the resurrection of Christ, that God, in the resurrection of Christ, God has appointed Jesus and fixed a day in which the world will be judged. Repent. The resurrection for the believer, I know most of you, and I know your faith. And the resurrection is a great source of comfort. It's a great source. It's a thrill in my faith, and I know it is in yours. Even death, even this evil scheme that killed our Savior, he's more powerful than that even. He threw off death. It's a great source of comfort for us. It is. But if you're not a believer, repent. You are dwelling in darkness. Believe the gospel. Listen to the word of God. What God has foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and what he tells you. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people." Acts chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. Listen, the apostles are applying that Moses text to those who will not believe in the Lord Jesus. It shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy, the Bible says. James chapter 4, verse 12. Thanks be to God that Jesus is risen. If he be not raised, those of us who have followed him, we're fools. Why would we undergo ridicule? Why would we be mocked by people? You believe in Jesus? You really take the Bible seriously? It's so old. There's a lot of wives' tales in there. Listen, if Jesus be not risen, what are we doing? This is a social club. But if he be risen, which he is risen indeed, it's very, very important that we heed his word. And what is his word? Abundant life through belief in him. All roads lead to destruction and despair, with no hope, except nothing to look forward to, except a fearful expectation of judgment. But in Jesus, not so. Though your sins be red as crimson or scarlet, bloody, the picture is you have this beautiful white garment. And it, can you imagine? You're eating something. You drop the red on that garment and you know instantly, oh, it's ruined forever. Belief in Jesus, though your sins be like that, the Bible says, they'll be white as snow. Jesus has power over the grave. He has authority. Do you know what? He can forgive sin, even. Would you call upon his name? Be not like those that Jesus spoke to and showed them many signs, but they heeded not. Even so much that Jesus said, Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented if they would have seen all the things I've done here. But not you. When we think of Sodom and Gomorrah, it is the epitome of the worst place ever, morally. And yet Jesus said, if they would have seen what you've seen, they would have repented. Listen, be not like them. Be like those in Nineveh that heard a faithful word, even though Jonah is a reluctant messenger, a faithful word from God. Judgment is at hand. It's true. Jesus is risen. Heed the word. Cry out for mercy. He delights in saving those who cry out for mercy. And I cannot give you a faithful gospel message if I don't tell you that every soul that doesn't listen to that prophet shall be destroyed. This is the word of God. I pray, he who has ears to hear, that you would hear it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you truly that Jesus' life and ministry is spotless. That he loved us, that you loved us and gave up your only son. Why? For us, it's hard to believe that you would do such a thing while we're yet sinners. And yet you have. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for being with him and sending him. Thank you for Lord Jesus that you prophesied truly, just as you said would happen, as Jonah was in the heart of the great fish for 3 days and nights, so you were in the earth and now are risen. Lord, would you help us, being that you're risen, that we will take very seriously the things that you've taught us, the things that your apostles carried on after you ascended. Would you help us in this world that we would be faithful ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation, that we would cry out to those who are facing looming judgment, and that we would cry out to them and that they would know that there is mercy to be found with Jesus. There is pardon from the King. Repent that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Father, we pray you'd be with us the rest of this day and in our country. Father, we thank you that there is an emphasis, albeit shadowed by other things, but I pray that there would be a heightened sense of sensitivity to the things of Jesus, to his resurrection and the power therein, and that even in things that seem compromised, I pray that you would work in our country and in the world. Be with us now as we go out, and may you bring us back together again next Lord's Day. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.